Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Toward the end of the previous shiur, we left off with the very tragic story of the condemnation of Rabbi Hanina ben Tradyo. The Roman authorities had charged him with the heinous crime of the study of Torah. And as a result of that, we saw that he was sentenced to be burnt, his wife sentenced to be executed, and his daughter sentenced to become a member of a house of ill repute. The section of the Gemara that we're picking up with is found toward the upper part of Daf Yud Ches. After having learned about the reason that Min HaShemayim he was condemned to be burnt, we now turn to the issue concerning his wife. So you'll see a dotted underlined expression with a letter bays over it. V'al ishtoi lehariga. His wife was condemned to execution, delo michobe, because she did not protest when she saw her husband being hoige es Hashem bo siyosov, pronouncing the ineffable name of the Almighty. And as a result of her silence, she ended up receiving a death sentence. Mikan omru, from this we see, or from this it is said, kol mi sheyesh biyado limchos veino moche, anyone who has the capacity for protesting what appears to be a violation or an avera, the eino moche, and does not protest, ne'ena shalov, they too are going to be punished for that. The albito leshev bekubo shalzonos, and his daughter was sentenced to become a member of a house of harlotry. Why was she? Why did she receive that punishment? The Omer of Yochanan, pamachas hoy sabito mahaleches lefnei gedoli romi. There was an occasion that Rabbi Hanina ben Tradyo's daughter, this girl, was walking in front of some Roman officers. Omru, they said, kama nois psioisel shorivazu, how lovely are the steps of this young girl. Miyad diktika bipsioisel, she, upon hearing that, made special effort to walk even nicer. Rashi says that in doing so, in trying to, let's say, attract their compliments, she was in violation of what the pasuk says, kol kavoida bas melech pnima. We'll say this is a type of violation of tznius, of modesty. Meforshim bring an additional explanation, an explanation that states that she was hearing these Gentiles complimenting her based on their standard of beauty or their standard of excellence. And in the eyes of the Gentile officialdom, a young girl who walks in an attractive fashion is something that's worthy of compliments. In contrast, there is the Torah standard of beauty. And the Torah has a totally different standard of excellence and what one is supposed to pursue. Her mistake was that she was trying to, albeit attract complimentary remarks for herself as even being a representative of the Jewish people. But she should have known that the Jewish striving for excellence is not based on the standards of the Gentile world. And she was trying to adapt herself to, we'll say, the Gentile standard of excellence and have that superimposed or attributed to the Jewish people. That was her mistake. V'hainu d'omar Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish, my dichtiv avoin akeva yisubeni. Based on this story, we understand what Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish said in interpretation of this pasuk. Avonos, sins, she'odom dosh ba'akevav. The pasuk made a reference to avon akevai, the sins of my heels. This is a reference to sins that a person, the Gemara says, dosh ba'akevav. We'll have to explain that momentarily. One who literally tramples with his heels, ba'olam hazeh, in this world, misubin lo liyom hadin. They lay in wait, so to speak, to condemn the violator on the day of judgment. Let's turn to Rashi when he has for his explanation on the sins that a person she'odom dosh ba'akevav. Rashi says dikduk psiyos ki hacha. The first pshat in Rashi is literally the sins that were accomplished. In this case, the violation of modesty that was achieved through her steps. So those are the avon, the sins of akevai, of my heels. Mishnachrina, a different pshat is she'odom dorson baraglav shein chashuvin be'enov klum. Those sins that a person commits, rationalizing that, well, this isn't very important. God doesn't really place much emphasis on this. So it's those very sins that a person treats lightly, that are not important in his eyes, as Rashi says, that those will lay in wait for such an individual on the day of judgment. The Gemara continues with the story of the family of Rabbi Hanina ben Tradyon. B'shal shiyotsu shloshtan, as those three were being taken out for their sentencing, tzodku aleim esadin, they all justified the heavenly decree. Hu Omar, Rabbi Hanina said, hatsur tamim po'olo, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is complete and perfect in his workings. The Ishtoi Omro, Kel Emuna Vein Ovel, the trustworthy God in which there is no misjudgment. Bitoi Omro, Godol Ho'etzo, V'Rav Ho'alimiyo, Asher Enechop Kuchois Al Kol Darchei B'nei Odom, Loseis Le'ish Kidrochov. And his daughter made a proclamation about how the Almighty's eyes are open and watching every step that a man takes, that each person gets paid according to his derech, of his ways. And of course you can see that her comments are focused on the issue of the paths and the walking and the steps that a person takes. Omar Rebbe, Kama Gdoilim Tzadikim Halolu, how awesome, how great are these righteous people. Shenizdamnu lahem sholosh mikroi shel tziduk hadin b'sh'as tziduk hadin, that they were that they quoted the words of justification of the rule of God at the very moment that the condemnation or that the sentencing was taking place. As you can see with our markings, with that we complete our very long Maisa marking that started on the previous Omer on Daf Yud Zayin Omer Beis. At this point, we have another long Maisa marking, and it's going to start over here, and this goes till the Omid Beis, the upper part of Omid Beis. All of this we are going to include as one long incident. Tonu Rabbanan, we're going to see in this particular incident the death of Rabbi Hanina ben Tradyon. In a sense, it's a continuation of the previous Maisa, where we were also featuring the story concerning Rabbi Hanina ben Tradyon. So in that sense, it's almost, we can view this as a continuation of that previous Maisa. So the Gemara says, Kishecholo Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, Of course, we see this section is framed off, a rather large Tanaic source in our marking system. We frame off all those sections that are of a Tanaic nature. This is to set it off, set it apart from the rest of the Gemara text. So, Kishechola Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, when Rabbi Yossi took ill, Holach Rabbi Hanina ben Shradion Levakro, Rabbi Hanina went to visit him. Omar Loi, Rabbi Yossi says to Rabbi Hanina, Hanina Achi, Iato Yodea Sheumazu Min Hashamayim Himlichua, do you not realize that this nation, referring to the Romans, have been placed in their position of power? Himlichua literally is coronated or appointed. They have been appointed, so to speak, from Shemayim. It's clear that their occupation of world leadership is something that was heavenly ordained. Shehechriva es beiso v'sorfas heicholo. These very people destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and burnt the sanctuary. V'horga es chasidov, and murdered the Jewish people's righteous ones. V'ovda es toivov, and eliminated its best ones. V'adayin hi kayemes, and you see it's still in power. So you have to ask yourself, being that this is a world in which we have the Almighty running things, and you have an empire that committed so much atrocity, and they're still in power, doesn't that show you that they are here with their power by heavenly decree? V'ani shamati olecho sh'ato yoshev esu b'ketoru makil kilois barabim v'sefer toro munach l'cho b'chaykecho, and I hear that you are violating their edicts. Namely, you are sitting studying Torah in public, amassing the public to learn Torah while holding a sefer Torah. In other words, you're doing everything against the edicts of this divinely appointed power. You should know better. Omar lo min hashamayim yarachamu. So Rabbi Hanina says, from heaven there will be mercy. Omar lo Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma says back, Ani omer loch devarim sheltam, I am explaining to you things on a logical basis. The ata omer li min hashamayim yarachamu, and your whole response is, from heaven they will have mercy. Toma ani, I would be amazed im lo yisrafu oischa v'sefer Torah bo'ish, that if I'd be amazed if they don't burn you with your sefer Torah. Omar lo, so Rabbi Hanina says to Rabbi Yossi, asks him, Rabbi, ma ani l'chai olam haba? What am I, what portion do I have with regard to the next world? Omar lo, so Rabbi Yossi says back, klum maise bol yodcha? Did any incident come your way and I will be able to judge how you behaved? Omar loy, so Rabbi Hanina says, mois shel purim neschafuli b'mois shel tzedakah. It happened that my Purim Seuda funds got mixed up with charity funds, v'chilakti maniyim, and I gave out what I found out later on to be my personal funds, and I gave that out to the poor, and I did not seek compensation from the kupa shel tzedakah, from other charity funds. In other words, even though it was my personal money that I gave out to the poor, and I could have sought compensation from other tzedakah funds, I didn't do that. In other words, I let it go. Omar loy im kain, if you have behaved thusly, and Rashi points out, if you have been a vatron b'mamoncha, you have been someone to be mavater, to be forgiving with his own funds, then mechelkecha yehei chelki, I should have a portion like you will be receiving. Umigorolecha yehei goroli, and from your lot, from the likes of your lot should be my lot. Omru, it was reported, lo hayu yomim mu'otim, not many days went by. Lo hayu yomim mu'otim ad shenifta Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. A while went by, and Rabbi Yossi passed away. V'holchu kol gedoli romi lekovroi. the great officials of Rome, they paid a lot of respect to this figure, to Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. You can see from the comments he made earlier, he was someone that, we'll say, played along. He knew that you have to give the Romans their due honor and not confront them. And they acted in kind. They honored him. And they all participated in the officials of Rome participated in his funeral, Vespidu Hesped Gadol, and eulogized him in a great eulogy. And on their way back from that funeral, they found Rabbi Hanina sitting, learning Torah, and assembling the masses, and he was seated there with a sefer Torah, with holding a sefer Torah, and that of course was against their edicts. They brought him the korchu b'sefer Torah and wrapped him in the sefer Torah, v'kifu b'chavilei zmoros, and surrounded him with branches, with bundles of branches. V'hitzisu b'hen esaur, and they lit the fire. They lit them on and set them on fire. V'heviu sfogim shel tzemer, they brought some clumps of wool. Then v'shorum b'mayim, and soaked them in water, v'henichum alibo, and they placed these clumps of wool to serve as a fire retardant, and they placed them around his chest, kedei shelo teitzei nishmoso mehera, so that his soul would not depart rapidly, in order to inflict greater pain on him. Omro loy bito, his daughter said, Abba, ereich bekach. And Rashi explains that she was saying, is this the reward for Torah learning? Omar lo. So he said back to her, Ilmole ani nisrafti levadi, hoya hadover kosheli. If I would have been burnt alone, then this issue or this matter would have been of a great pain and great trouble to me. However, achshav shani nisraf a sefer Torah imi, now that I'm being burnt together with the sefer Torah, mi shemevakish elbonu shel sefer Torah, he who will seek out the shame of the sefer Torah, hu yevakish elboni, he too will seek out retribution for the shame and disparagement that I am being subjected to. Of course, a reference to the fact that the Almighty will take retribution. Omru lo tamidov, Rebbe ma taroe, the students that were present asked him in this awful state, what do you behold? What do you see? Omar lahen, gilyoin nisrofin v'oisiois porchos, I see the parchment burning and the letters flying into the air. Af ato, the Talmidim said to him, Psach picho v'dikones b'cho ha'esh, open your mouth and let the fire enter you. They were pleading for shortening the amount of pain that he was being subjected to. Amar lahen muta, and he said back, mutav shiitleno misha nosno va'al yechabil hu ba'atzmo. Better would it be that the one who gave me life should take away the life, and I should not inflict injury upon myself. Amar lo katzanuri, the appointed one, we'll refer to him as the executioner. He said, Rebbe, im ani marbe b'shalheves, if I increase the flames, the noitel svoigin shel tzemer me al libcho, and remove the fire retardant clumps of wool, ato, and of course thereby relieving you of this suffering, and hence the death will be more rapid. Ato mevi'eni l'chayla mabo, will you bring me to the world to come? Omar lo, hein, yes. Hishavali, will you swear to me? Nishbalo, Rabbi Hanina swears to this to his executioner that for making his alleviating his plight, that Rabbi Hanina will see to it that the executioner receives a portion in the world to come. Yad hirbo v'shalheves, immediately upon hearing him swear to him thusly, the executioner increased the flames, v'notal svugim shel tzemer ma'alibo, and removed the soaked clumps of wool from his chest, yotze nishmosu b'mehera, and Rabbi Hanina's soul departed rapidly, afhu kafatz v'notal atocha ur, and at that moment he, the executioner himself, jumped into the fire, yotze baskol v'yomra, Rabbi Chani ben Tradion beklatz teniri mezimona hein lechay olam haba. Rabbi Chanina and the executioner are summoned to the wondrous world to come. Bocha Rabbi Yomar yesh koina olamu b'sha achas. Rabbi, upon hearing this incident, cried out and said, "There are those that acquire their portion in the world to come in a moment." V'yesh koina olamu b'kama shanim, and there are those that acquire their portion only after many years of effort. Bruya devisu de Rabbi Meir barte de Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion havoi. Rabbi Meir, one of the famous Tanoim that we find in our Shas, was the Rabbi Meir's wife's name was Bruya. She happened to be another daughter of Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. She, in effect, was the sister of the girl we saw above that was sentenced to be a harlot. Omro loy, Bruya said to Rabbi Meir, Zila bimilsa, it is a source of shame to me, the yasvach toy b'kubushal zonas, that my sister is sentenced to be a, we'll call it an inmate in a house of harlotry. Well, Bura is expressing her displeasure and her pain in her sister's plight. So Rabbi Meir feels he must take action. Shokal tirkava de dinri v'ozal. Rabbi Meir took tirkava is a quantity. It's a half a sa'ah. It's three kav of gold coins, a sizable amount of wealth. He took with him this sack of gold coins, the Ozal, and went, Omar. And he explained and he reasoned. Before we go further, we might as well take note of our topic heading that we see in the outside margin. Rabbi Meir noisea lohoitzi bito shereb chanim and tradion mikuba shel zonos. Rabbi Meir is featured here on a trip to extricate the daughter of Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion from the house of ill repute. So, after Rabbi Meir takes this sack of coins, he says, "Omar, I loy isavid bo isura. If she has remained pure, then misavid nisa I avda isura. Let us say that if she has remained pure, then a nes will." A beneficial miracle will happen. I ovda isura lo isavid lo nisa. And if she has violated her purity, then she will not be worthy of having a nes take place. Ozal noka nafshe kechad parsha. Rabbi Meir posed as a horseman, as a knight maybe. Omar lo. He turns to her, he goes to this house of ill repute, and in disguise, in effect, we're talking about a brother-in-law, but in disguise he says, Hashmi'eni li, I want you to have relations with me, I want to hire your services. Omro le, so she says, Dishtana ana, I'm having the female cycle right now, and experiencing the nidus, and therefore it's not appropriate. Omar lo, Masrach no misrach. He says, I'll wait for you. I'll wait a couple days till it passes. Omra lo. She says, well, why waste your time? Nefishin tuva de shapirin minoy. There are many other girls that are even nicer looking than me. Omar, Rabbi Meir, upon hearing this, said, Shma mino lo ovdo isura, called the osi omra lehochi. It must be, it concludes, that she has remained faithful, she has remained pure, and it is most probable that everyone that comes to her, she says the same line. Ozal Lagabi Shomer Dido, he went to the official in charge of the of this house, and said, Omar Le Hava Nihali. Rabbi Meir requested from the guard, give her over to me. Whereas I want to take her away from here. Omar le, so the guard says, Mistafino mi mahus, I'm afraid of the government. If I give her to you, they'll hold me accountable. Omar le, shkol tirkavo de dinra, take this sack of three kav. Tirkavo, as we mentioned above, was a quantity, three kav of gold coins. palgal palach, with half of them, you use them to bribe the authorities if they come after you. Upalgal the heavy loch, and the other half keep for yourself as payment. Omar lay v'chishalmi maye avid, and when the coins get used up after I spend them on all the bribes, what should I do then? Omar lay emo. So Rabbi Meir says, say the following: Eloko de Meir anemi umis tzalis. Announce or say that I want the God of Meir to answer me, to help me, and you will be safe. Omar lay. So the guard asks Rabbi Meir, and he says that works. Omar le hashtechozis. So he says, behold, you will see right now. Havu hano kalvi the havu koachli inshi. There were some in that area. There were some man-eating dogs. Shokel kola. He took a clod of earth, shoda behu, threw it, cast it at the dogs to incite them. Havu koasu the michle. They were and they came to eat him. Omar, and he said, Eloko de Meir aneni. He said that prayer, Shavku, and the dogs left him. The Yohavole, well, when the guard saw that the prayer is effective, so he gave the girl, the daughter of Rabbi Chanina ben Shradion, to Rabbi Meir, gave her over. The Sof, Ishtama Milsa be Malka. At the end, the incident became known to the emperor. Asu, Asua, Askua, Lizkifa. So they brought the guard for hanging. Omar, so the guard said the prayer, Eloko de Meir Aneni, Achtua. And upon his reciting of that prayer, they lowered him, and he wasn't hung. Omrule, my high. And they asked, like, wow, you know, why is this happening? Why is it that we're not able to hang you? Omar lahu, hachi hava maisa. So he told over the whole incident. And they realized that Rabbi Meir was behind this. Osu chokiku l'dmusei de Rabbi Meir, apischa de Romi. They came, and what has become famous in recent history of wanted pictures being posted in post offices, the predecessor of that is they carved out a figure of his, of Rabbi Meir's image, on the entrance to Rome, Amri, and they said, Kol dechozi leparzufa hodein laise, anyone who sees this face, the face of Rabbi Meir, then bring him in. Yumochado chazyuhi, one day he was spotted, Rohat Abasrei. And the official, the police, or whoever was trying to catch him, ran after him, Roat Makamayu, and Rabbi Meir ran away from them, all the Bezonos, and he ran into a house of ill repute. Iko Diamri, one version of the continuation of this story is, Bishule Oivde Kechovim Chaza, he saw some pot of unkosher food, or food cooked up by Gentiles was cooking there. Tomash beha umosak beha. He placed his finger into the pot, placing one finger in the pot to create a sense that he was tasting from this food, and in effect he sucked his other finger, so that in practice he didn't consume any of the unfit food there, but he created the impression that he was eating from the unkosher food. Another version of what happened there was also Elio, the Hanovi came, Idmi Lehu Kizoina, he came in disguise. We actually have seen Elio in a previous incident also coming in disguise. In this case, he comes in disguise as a harlot, Karachte, and he embraced Rabbi Meir, and creating the impression that Rabbi Meir is getting on good with one of these harlots. Amri, the ones in pursuit of him, said that Chas v'Shalom, e Rabbi Meir, have lo have ovet hochi. If it was the real man that we're out for, the great Rabbi Meir, he wouldn't be doing this, either eating from the unkosher food or embracing a harlot. So he was spared. The pursuers, they left his tracks. Kom Orak Osulabovel. He ran off to Bavel. He wanted to save himself, Bavel being a region that was outside of the realm of the Roman Empire. Iko diamri mehai maisa. One version is, as a result of this maisa that we just got finished learning, is what caused Rabbi Meir to go, to leave the region he was in, to go off to Bavel. The Iko diamri, another version is, mi maisa de Bruria, because of the incident involving his own wife. It's interesting that the Shas itself doesn't report that maisa. It seems as if the Shas is trying to cover it up, not expose this incident. Rashi, however, does reveal the incident. So let us glance at Rashi. V'ikar d'amri mishum maisa d'bruria. Shepam achas, one time, liglogo al shomru chachomim, she made light, she ridiculed the saying of the sages, noshim daiton kaloishein alayhu, that women's minds are kalos. Kalos is a word that is needs some attention as far as an accurate translation, but it's a description of women's minds as being light upon them. What that means, as we said before, has to be subjected to further interpretation. However, Bruria, the wife of Rabbi Meir, wasn't happy with the implications of that observation of women, of womankind. The Omar law, Rabbi Meir said to her, Chayech Sofech Lehoidois Ledevrayim, you are going to come around to admit that they are correct. So Rabbi Meir, apparently in the interest of defending the honor of the Chachomim, of the Chazal, said he set her up. V'tziva le'echod mitalmidov l'nasois l'dvar avera. He convinced one of his students to put her to the test of faithfulness. V'hiftzir bo yomim rabim. This student implored upon her many days, day after day, to yield to his requests for intimacy. Ad shenisratzitz, until she actually agreed to do that. And it became then known that it was all a setup, and she failed the test in the sense that she yielded to this request. Ukshenoda lo chonka atzmo. When she heard that she was set up and she failed, she ended up killing herself. She strangled herself. The Orak Rabbi Meir Machmas Kisuf, and Rabbi Meir ran away out of embarrassment. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source at which point in the Gemara embarks on a very long discussion concerning what we termed on the side in our topic heading, Moishev Leitzim. Moishev Leitzim is a situation that Judaism finds very unacceptable. It's a situation of sometimes translated as an assembly of scoffers, but in a more practical terms, we'll call it a lifestyle or a tendency to be involved with laughter and lightheadedness and frivolity. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's make no mistake that Judaism is very concerned with being in a state of joy, of simcha. In fact, psukim in the Torah indicate that because one fulfills the Torah without simcha, that itself could bring on great catastrophe. The pasuk says, "Tachas asher lo avadato asher Hashem alokecha besimcha uvetuv levav." But we cannot confuse the concept of joy with the concept of lightheadedness and frivolity and laughter. There are enough sources in the Shas, in the Talmud, indicating that there is a time for laughter and for lightening things up. There, in fact, is a Gemara in Maseches Tainis that describes that there were jesters, if you will, that were going to merit a portion in the world to come because they knew how to relieve the pain of individuals through laughter. But we, as one can get a sense, and that laughter, if it's going to be employed, it has to be employed in a very specific fashion. But a lifetime of frivolity and laughter and joking, this is something that we do not accept as legitimate, and that is termed a moishav leitzim. Tonu Rabbanon. We have a Tanaic source. The source that we will be presented with initially has a couple of emphasis points made. In other words, they're dashed underlinings. This is in view of the fact that following it, another source is brought in that is introduced by the expression viramini, a contradiction. And after the second source, you can see that there are some more markings of emphasis. The double underline is employed there to bring out what will appear to be a contradiction between these two sources. And following that, the Gemara will resolve this. So the first source says, Tanu Rabbanan, Hahoylech li'itzdadinin, one who goes to a itzdadinin may be translated as a stadium. More specifically, it's a place where they practiced maybe it's a predecessor of bullfighting, where they would have oxen incited and attempt to gore people. And one who goes to those events, the karkoim, a karkoim, Rashi terms a motzer. Motzer is a siege. It seems to be an encampment of soldiers. And so one joins a siege where there's an encampment of soldiers, the Rosh Hashem, and he sees there, and now the Brisa is going to list off a number of different entertainers. And we're not going to translate each one of them, but we should realize that they all fall under the category of leitzonim, of jesters and jokers and comedians and the like. So using a politically correct term, we can refer to them as entertainers, but we should understand it more specifically in the realm of leitzonim, jesters and scoffers. And here is the list. So a person goes to these events. V'ra sham es ha-nechoshim v'es-ha-chaborin, bukyonu, mukyonu, mulyon, velulyon, bloirin, salgirin, ha-reze, moishav leitzim. That kind of assembly is termed a moishav leitzim, an assembly of scoffers. Ya'aleim ha-kos of Omer, and regarding this, the pasuk says, Ashri ha-ish asher loy holach, this pasuk is found at the very beginning of Sefer Tehillim, which is praising the person that doesn't go to these types of assemblies. The pasuk itself is the very first pasuk in Sefer Tehillim, and also the second pasuk. It says, Ashri ho'ish asher lo holach ba'atzas rishoyim uvederech hatoyim lo omod. This particular pasuk will be featured later in the Gemara. There are three verbs that are found here. That fortunate is the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, and doesn't stand amongst sinners, and doesn't sit amongst the scoffers. So you have holach and omad and yoshav. So fortunate is the man that doesn't walk, doesn't stand, and doesn't sit. Well, and then the next pasuk Beis goes on to say, "Ki im b'soras Hashem chepsoi u'b'soroso yege yomam v'layla." But what one does alternatively is engages in the pursuit of Torah. The Gemara will pay a great deal of attention to these psukim later on. After having learned this brisa, the Gemara now raises a contradiction. V'ramini, holchin litzdadinin. Notice we've dashed underlined this phrase where it says one should go, one does go, is allowed to go to these stadiums. Holchin litzdadin mutar. The trips to stadiums is allowed. Mipnei shitzoveach umatzil, because he has the opportunity from to scream out and save. In other words, if as we mentioned before, he's present at these bullfights or these ox incitements, and a potential victim might be a fellow Jew, and he sees that, he can he has a chance here to scream out and plead for his being saved. Ulekarkoim muter. And likewise, to go to a siege or a military camp is okay. Mipnei Yishuv Medina, because of this consideration. And Rashi points out that they may be laying siege on a community where there is a Jewish community, and this person who comes to the camp can plead on their behalf. Ubuvad shelo yischashev imohem. It's provided he doesn't go there to offer encouragement to the idol worshippers and to participate in laying the siege. The im nischashev imoim, if he goes there and actually participates in their military activities, laying siege on that community, usher, that's forbidden. Well, we see when we look at these two sources the following problem. Kashu itzdadinin aitzdadinin, kashu karkum akarkum. We have a contradiction between the two sources regarding the allowance, the permissibility of going to the stadiums, as well as the issue of participating in the encampment of the soldiers. So bishlamo karkum akarkum lo kashu. As far as the two sources are concerned with regard to the karkoim, the laying of siege, there is no contradiction. Kan b'mischashev imohem, the source that forbids it, namely the first source that forbids it, that's a case where he's going to participate and join forces with them. Kan, the source that says it's allowed, b'she'ein mischashev imohem, he goes there simply to plead on behalf of the Jewish community that's being threatened, but in no way participates with the soldiers. Elo itzdadinin a itzdadinin kashya. But what about the issue of going and being part of the spectators of a ox incitement celebration? The Gemara answers that tanoihi, the issue of allowing the attendance at an ox incitement ceremony is a Tanea controversy. Disanya, the source says ein hochin l'sadinin, but nei shehin shofchei domim. The first opinion is one is not allowed to go to these stadiums because they are in effect celebrations of murder. They are murderers. Rabbi Nosson matir, but nei shnei dvorim. Rabbi Nosson says one is allowed to attend these ox incitements for two reasons. Echad mitnei shoveach umatzil. One is that he may scream out and plead and in effect help in saving a potential Jewish victim. The echad mitnei shemeid edus isha lahasia. And the second reason is that in the event that the victim of the ox incitement is a Jewish fellow and is killed and leaves a wife, he can then serve as witness that to benefit the widow that her husband is dead and enable her to marry someone else. Without such testimony, we wouldn't know that her husband is actually dead. Tonu Rabbonon, ein hochim le tartios ule karkosios. One is not allowed to go to these events, possibly translated as theaters and circuses, but for our purposes, they certainly are cases, they're places of public Gentile entertainment, and one cannot go to these. Mitnei shemezablin shom zibul avidis kechavim, divrei Rabbi Meir. According to Tosfos, the word mezablin is a word referring to offering of sacrifices. Technically speaking, the word mezablin means garbage. So in referring to the service of idolatry, the Chazal use a derogatory term when they are referring to something else. They're here in this case referring to offering of sacrifices and use a derogatory verb to make reference to that. So Rabbi Meir says it is forbidden to go to these Tartios and Karkisos because those are places of idol worship. The Chachamim say, Mokoim Shemezablin also Bnei Chashad Avodas Chachamim, a place that they offer sacrifices, so it's forbidden to go because it arouses suspicion that one is involved with idol worship. And a place, one of these circuses or theaters where they don't offer sacrifices, it still is forbidden because of the problem of Moshev Leitzim. My Binayhu. This question is itself the subject of two interpretations found in the Tosfos. The second interpretation is when the Gemara is asking what is the difference between the two. The Tosfos says, "What is the difference between a mokum shemezablin and a mokum she'em mezablin according to the Rabbonan?" You notice that the Rabbonan, and with our markings we also try to emphasize this, we've dashed underline the word mokum, and we've also, with a different type of dash underline, we've dashed underline the expression osur, so that you see, according to the Chumim, whether both places are forbidden, whether it's a place of offering sacrifices or not. So the question is, well, if they're both forbidden, what difference, what halachic difference is there in attending either one of these situations? So the Gemara answers, Omar Rabbi Chanina Misura, there will be a practical difference in the case of Nosa V'Nosan Iko Binayo. If he goes to these places and let's say, buys things in those locations, will he be able to benefit from that which he purchased? So if it's a place that they are engaged in idol worship, so then what you got there will be forbidden. If it's a place of simple Moshev Leitzim, a place of scoffers, then that which you got from them, it could be you bought something from them or you sold something to them and received money. And so if it's a place of simple Moshev Leitzim, so then we would say that you are not holding on to Dmei Avodah Zarah. It may be pointed out that we explain this, as we mentioned earlier, according to Tosfos' second pshat. Rashi and the beginning of Tosfos offer a different interpretation, but for our purposes, we offered a reasonable explanation based on, as we said, the second approach of Tosfos. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form. This is featured on the side under the heading Mivneh. The bowtie form here are two drushos Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi al posuk Ashrei ho'ish asher lo holach. So we see one over here, and much closer to the bottom, again, Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi holds forth on this posuk, the first posuk in Tehillim. Dorash Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Mai dichtiv Ashrei ho'ish asher lo holach ba'atzas rishoyim uvederech chatoyim lo omad uvemoshev leitzim lo yoshav. As we mentioned earlier, there were three verbs in this posuk. The first verb was holach. In other words, fortunate is man that doesn't go in the way of the wicked. So the Gemara asks, if the pasuk is praising someone who didn't go there in the first place, so hey chonoma, then how could he ever come to a situation where he is standing there? He didn't go in the first place. And furthermore, umeachar shelo omad, the pasuk, the second phrase is praising someone who didn't stand there. So hey chon yoshev, if he didn't even stand there, how could he come to a situation where he is seated there? Umeachar Shelo Yoshav, and if he wasn't ever seated there, Hechon Lutz. So how could he be? How could he have participated in frivolity? Elo Loimerloch. Rather, let us understand the pasuk as follows. The pasuk is saying is hinting to the following: Sheim holach, if a person would go soifu lamod, it's inevitable he's going to end up standing there. The im omad, and if he stands there soifu leishav, he's going to end up sitting there. The im yoshav, and if he sits amongst the sinners, then soifu lalutz, and then he is going to come to joking around with them as well. In other words, even if the person being described by the pasuk himself is not a joker, is a serious person, however, if he ends up going to spend time amongst jokers, he himself is going to be drawn into that. The im lots, and if he does get drawn into that and becomes a scoffer, a joker, olova kosuvomer, the pasuk says, im chochamto, chochamto loch, the latsto Levadcha Tisa. The end of the pasuk indicating that if a person engages in leitzonus, then he will have to bear the consequences himself. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Here we have triangles, and they're featured on the side. Sidro Shel Kol HaMislotzes. We have a series of comments, of observations regarding those people who are engaged in frivolity and joking. Kol HaMislotzes, anyone who is a scoffer, Yisurin Boyanolov, troubles will befall him. Shedemar, V'ato Al Tisloitzotzu, Pen Yechseku Musrechem. The Pasuk is warning against being involved with Leitzanus, because one who is Yechseku Musrechem, Yisrechem is a reference to Yisurim, then Yisurim troubles will befall him. Omar Lehu Rava L'Rabbanan. Rava turns to the term Rabbanan is most likely his students, and says, "Bematusa binaychu, I plead with you, the loy tisloy tzasu, the lolesu alaychu yisurin." I find this fascinating, that there's a need on his part to plead with them not to engage in this, apparently, and I think that it's fairly apparent to all that there's such a strong attraction to be drawn into joking, and especially when we talk about joking, and I think the Chazal are focusing on a type of lightheadedness that it also involves ridicule and making light of things that otherwise are important. In fact, the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah and elsewhere in other Gemaras as well, Kol Leitzanusa Asura Chutz MiLeitzanusa Davoda Zora, that this thing called Leitzanus, this frivolity and joking and ridiculing, is forbidden. All forms of it are forbidden except when it's focused against idol worship. One can see from here, and it goes without saying from life experience as well, one knows that this is a very, very powerful weapon. This, the weapon of humor and joking. What has happened is that through humor and comedy, many sacrosanct institutions have lost their sanctity in the eyes of the public, whether it be issues of holiness, of propriety, of family, of government, of leadership. All of these important institutions, when the guns of ridicule are aimed against them, they lose their importance. And how sorry and sad that is. Therefore, the Torah and the Chazal, the Chachomim, our sages, take a very, very strong and unbending stance against this attribute of ridicule. Once again, not to be confused with the concept of simcha, of joy and pleasure, as itself is dictated by the Torah. That is quite not only permissible, but very desirable. But there's a very, very major distinction to be drawn between joy and happiness and the realm of comedy and ridicule. Going on in these exhortations against leitzonis, Omer Rav Katina, kol hames loitzeitz mezoinosov mismatim. Those involved with leitzonis will find that their food or their income diminishes. Shnemar moshach yodoi es loitzitzim. The word yodo we find in another pasuk, posech es yodecho umaspilocho chai rotzon, where the Almighty opens his hand and feeds all. So this pasuk is saying that very hand that opens up to feed the creations is going to be withdrawn from the scoffers. That's moshach yodo es leitzen, the hand that feeds will be withdrawn from the scoffers. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish kol hamisloitzeitz noifel begehenem. We've incorporated a little aleph over this, because we're going to see a bays, a second approach to the posuk that's going to be cited, and that second approach is taken by Rav Hoshaya. So the first approach is that one who is involved with ridicule and scoffing falls into purgatory. Shnemar zed yohir leitz shmo oise be'evras zodoin. So in this posuk, we've squiggled on the word leitz to emphasize its presence here. And the Gemara now offers further interpretation. Vein evra elo gehenem. This posuk made a reference to oise be'evra zodon. The word evra has to do with purgatory. Shnemar yoim evra hayoim hahu. So in that posuk, which is a reference to gehenem, the word evra appears. Omer Roshaya, kol hamis yohir nofel begehenem. Anyone who is haughty is doomed to Gehenna, to purgatory. Shinemar, and the same pasuk is cited, and this time we're going to emphasize a different word. Zaid Yohir lets Shmo Sebevra Zodon. The word Yohir is Yuhara. Yuhara is haughtiness. The Ain Evra Elo Gehenna Shinemar Yoim Evra Hayomahu. The same point that was mentioned just above. Omer Abitan Chum Bar Chaniloi Kohamis Loitzates Gorim Kloyo Liolam. Anyone involved with ridicule and scoffing causes destruction upon the world. Shinehemar V'ato Al Tisloitzitzu Pen Yechziku Mosrechem Ki Cholo V'nechrotzo Shomati. So in this posuk, which mentions do not get involved with leitzanis, Cholo V'nechrotzo, Cholo has to do with destruction. It really means, technically means the end, but in this case, the end of the world. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Koshehi, Shetchilasa Yisurin, Vesofa Kloya. There is great pain in Leitzonis in that it begins with Yisurin. This very posuk that we quoted mentioned Pen Yechziku Mosrechem, that we saw above was a reference to Yisurin, and it goes on and leads up to the final total destruction. Dorash Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Mai dichtiv Ashrei Ish Shelo Holach. Fortunate is the man that didn't go. That's Ze Shelo Holach Letartios Kafisos Shelo Ovdei Kochavim. One who avoided going to the theaters and circuses of the Gentiles. Uvedera Chatoim Lo Omad Ze Shelo Omad BeKangion. He who did not participate in these. But Kangion we can loosely translate as a fox hunt. You'll notice Rashi at the bottom says, Tzedas chaya ayadei klovim, trapping of wild animals through the use of dogs. The chol maaseim l'shem schoik v'simcha. And all of this was, we might call this recreation, but the way that Rashi terms it is, it's for the purposes of laughter and joy. Noticing again that we're drawing a very fine line between the issue of joy and simcha is something that actually is positive, but the question is how are you achieving it? And so if you're achieving your level of simcha through animal hunts, that's found to be reprehensible. The Gemara goes on, Uvamoshev Leitzim Leyashev. Notice we've employed underlinings, underlining here each section of the Pasuk itself, following which is the Gemara's explanation. So Uvamoshev Leitzim Leyashev, Zeh Shleyashev Betachbulois. He who didn't spend time with the different types of public schemings. Shema Yomer Adam, a person might rationalize, Hoyo Volholachti Letartios. Since I haven't gone to the theaters and the circuses, and I haven't stood participating in these, watching these animal hunts, well, I can go off and sleep now. In other words, that it's sufficient to stay away from the negative. Talmud Lomar, so the Pasuk goes on to say, that it's insufficient simply to stay away from the negative, but one is expected to do the positive. And the ultimate positive is being preoccupied and immersed in Torah study. Amrav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amrav Yonison. Ashrei ho'ish ashelo holach bi'atzas rishoyim. Ze Avram Avinu shelo holach bi'atzas anshei dor hafloga. Shereshoyim hoyu. We will see this drasha focuses the pasuk on Avram Avinu and different aspects of his restraint. He restrained himself from participating in the ways of the generation of the Hafloga. That's a reference to the generation that built what is sometimes called the Tower of Babel, the Migdal Bovel, which was an attempt to demonstrate against the Almighty. So the pasuk that says Shelo Holach Biatzer Shoshoyim is a reference to Avram Avinu that didn't follow the counsel of the wicked being that generation that participated in the Migdal Bovel. And they were Rishoyim, Shinemar, as the Pasuk says, Hova Nivne Lonu Ir. And here the Gemara is rather brief in its quote, but they were building a city with a tower in its midst as a method of, we'll say, demonstrating against the Almighty. Uvedera Chatoyim Lo Omad, also a reference to Avram Avinu, Shelo Omad the Amida Stone. He was not a member of the stone population. Shechatoyim hoyu, they were sinners. Shenemar v'anshe stoim roim v'chatoyim l'ashem ma'od. And you'll notice in the pasuk itself, you have the word chatoyim. Uvamoishev leitzim lo yoshav, shelo yoshav b'moishev anshe plishtim. That Avram Avinu did not dwell amongst the plishtim, who are classified as leitzonim. Shenemar, the pasuk says, v'yehi ketoyv libam v'yomru kiru l'shimshon v'yasachet lanu. Though this is a much later point in history, nevertheless, the story of Shimshon was also involved the Plishtim, and they summoned Shimshon to offer them entertainment. The point being that they were involved with schok, with this laughter, which is associated with Leitzonis, and Avram Avinu, many generations earlier, did not participate with them. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.